What's the biggest problem you've ever solved and how did you solve it?
Well, I'll probably go to the most current problem I've had to solve. So when I initially came on board with the Hawks, around 2 weeks after I started, we had a little bit of a racial crisis. We had some previous owners who said some derogatory things that were recorded, and then it ended up coming out in the media. And literally, like, my second week, my boss called me in his office and said, "I am so sorry. I had no idea." And I'm like, "You had nothing to do with this."
Right.
But at that time, we were in the beginning stages of trying to brand this team. And so we had already gone through some analytics work, looking at all types of data we can find, whether it was census data, television ratings, you know, ticket sales data, understanding what was happening from a corporate partnership standpoint, looking at, you know, business trends, to really understand for us, who should our target audience be for the Atlanta Hawks, looking at a lot of internal proprietary research that was done, and then ultimately defining how we should set up this brand for the future, and really trying to define what that target audience was. And so all of these brand positions and, you know, things that we were going to go out and test in the market was like, none of that matters now because the world has shifted right before your eyes and we have to react.
Right.
And so in real time, myself and a couple other folks on our team got together and we really started thinking of, what did the city need? What did it need from the Hawks? What was this research that we found and what did we hear? And a lot of it was, the Hawks hadn't really given back to the community in any major way. People felt like after Dominique Wilkins got traded that the Hawks just stopped caring. We very quickly started doing some qualitative research and really understood that the one thing Atlanta has is there's a lot of folks who are hustling and working hard every day. And that authenticity was really big in this city. And so for a lot of ways, it's like, yeah, you say what you want, but like everything's like real talk. Like, okay, what do you really mean? Or it's a lot about building relationships. And so we said, you know, we needed to be truthful and just authentic as an organization. What are we going to do? And so at the time, our CEO wrote a letter that we printed in the AJC that really just apologized and took ownership for what happened. In addition to saying, you know, here are some steps that we're going to take. We're going to provide places for us to build bridges to the community through basketball. And a lot of that has resulted in us putting around 27 courts all around the city to really help kind of give back to the community.
Right.
And being thoughtful about ticket pricing and making sure that we had opportunities for everybody to be able to have access, hiring the first chief diversity and inclusion officer of any NBA team. And so while a lot of those things happened on my end from a brand strategy standpoint, it's like, okay, well, that's great. You put a letter in the media, but what does that mean?
Right.
And so we came up with this True to Atlanta kind of tagline. And it was first, it was truth in basketball, and we really want to be honest, but it's like, we're true to Atlanta. And then also recognizing that Atlanta is a city that has a lot of transplants or people that have recently moved and decided to stay because it's a great place to raise a family. And so we also had to recognize and be able to articulate that true to Atlanta can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So in the spirit of letting everybody come in and know that they matter and that they're important, you know, really trying to build a line that was more than just for a team and really helped to define the brand. And so we launched the True to Atlanta line. We defined our target audiences as next generation Atlantans, multicultural audiences, so that there was no question that we were absolutely for the audiences that may have been perceived as not in the past, as well as B2B, because we have to still, you know, look at how we make money and have a run our business. And so a lot of that work resulted in us redoing our entire arena. You know, Phillips Arena became State Farm Arena with a lot more premium products and programming to really be the place that you want to come and entertain clients. Or if you have a huge team and you're looking at perks and things like that,
right?
You know, we were able to provide that. In the past, we didn't have any of those amenities. And so, you know, between that and looking at the creativity of how do we make True to Atlanta come to life, it was working with local artists, you know, and putting up art throughout our entire facility, working with local restaurateurs. And so whether that's Bee's Cracklin' or actually the Swag Shop with Killer Mike, you know, putting a barber shop for, you know, a local activist, rapper, you know, phenomenon like Killer Mike, who has these swag shops in the community to provide jobs for local African-Americans in those communities. We said, hey, let's make this your showpiece and put it in our arena where people can get their haircut and watch a game at the same time. And so it was a really big challenge coming in literally in the second week and having a huge hurdle like that. Which was national news, especially coming off of what happened with the Clippers, like right around the same time. But being able to really translate that through some savvy marketing, a lot of really cool execution, a lot of work, to be honest, and giving back to the city to ultimately be at the place where we are today. I think it's been a very fun ride, but just a lot of lessons learned along the way.